agents, so they're necessary in terms of your personal hygiene. But then I think they kind of go beyond this luxury item to become a populax, where you even get in the revolution perfume à la guillotine. You can walk down the road and pick that up. So
what do you think it smells like? Yeah.
I haven't found
blood.
A recipe.
Ground up body parts.
Smells like the blood of a lizard.
One other thing to throw in there was is the importance of the concept of import substitution here, which might be very helpful with pearls. In other words, you say, well, gold leaf is really expensive. Pearls, you know, it's ridiculously expensive. So what we're looking for is something which is cheaper, which will, you know, it's more careful, so you're not putting money out. You do it within. And that's very important. Obviously, you see that with coffee.
Right.
You know,
the
what,
porcelain,
exactly
right,
what you've been saying. You could see it with tobacco. You could see it with lots of other drugs as well. And what is interesting in perfume is it goes the other way. And that, in other words, it's because you're looking for a more and more sort of rarefied audience, you're sort of making it even more exotic, mm-hmm. even more expensive, and all the rest of it. So you've got, again, this very differentiated market. And I think actually there is a difference. I haven't really worked it out, but, you know, some of the stuff about, you know, something, you know, is really fabulous because it comes from, you know, Cleopatra's navel or wherever, you know, because of the qualities that yeah. a lot of people are using exotic language. It's really just marketing. It's
oh,
not
yes.
really, you know, it's just
yes.
sort of hitting a sort of Arabian Nights type of stuff, rather than really going to some sort of medically approved or medically endorsed argument about medical quality and health effects. I think, but that's just a thought.
Well, coffee was. I've been talking about the material culture surrounding, but coffee itself, people worried about, the experts worried about, the medical experts worried about its adulteration from the very beginning, about how you had to beware of what was coming with your beans. So that's why you only want to buy whole beans and grind them yourself at home and then roast them yourself first, because they could be adulterated with peas and with flour and with dirt. And then if we fast forward ahead to the Napoleonic period, with the British blockade and everything, they could no longer import their own coffee, and that's where chicory starts to be used as a coffee substitute. And that it's not coffee either.
I think there's a really interesting story with perfumery, because you start off with these very expensive ingredients, ambergris, civet, and musk, that are hard to access, and, you know, they even have civet farms in Amsterdam, and they tried to have one in England, which is gone by about 1720. But then you end up with actually homegrown products, orange flower and rose and lavender. So in terms of the production costs drop, but then the prices actually rocket as they then do create these new techniques to distinguish between different types of perfumes, where I imagine there's actually not that much difference. And I think the Paris perfumers actually did a lot less in terms of production than they would want everybody to think. I think they kind of, you know, maybe had very small laboratories and mixed a few things that had already been processed in Grasse or in Montpellier, and then, you know, kind of advertised them as actually their products.
I can pick up on that. In between the luxury versus necessity debate, we also have the issue of quality and purity, and you can see this in some cases even in the 16th century, where the marketing and the sort of debates about the different products that are flowing into not just France but Europe, you know, from the 16th century on, deal with this, and it does evolve over time often, but certainly that notion of marketing to quality, that just because you have ordinary people, non-noble people, for example, consuming a product doesn't mean that there isn't still cachet at different levels. You can have really, you know, gradations in the markets too. So I don't know how much you see in each of your different examples these sorts of dynamics going on, and when there's a period where there is more of this sort of branding around quality versus just a sort of luxury versus necessity debate going on. But that's what I would pose as a question.
Always been at the forefront of, I think, the butchers themselves, and certainly maintaining the slaughter in the city is all about quality. It's to ensure that you're getting a fresh animal, right? Not that one has died of other causes, but one that has been properly slaughtered and butchered. And so to imagine that outside of a hospital is kind of a harsh thing, that they would bring the cattle to the Hotel Dieu, and they would have to do that right outside of the hospital walls, and that was part of quality, and that it would also have to be people who were trained and recognized as a professional butcher. It wouldn't be someone who was just hired for a short season, but these were experts, and so that level of quality really, you know, is something that's carried through even in this particular market, which could easily not be. I mean, it could easily, you could certainly imagine that there would be other ways to do this, but I think that the quality really drove that concern.
And just to speak to another shade of this, too, is at least in Le Ménagerie, authenticity is a big issue. So they talk about, this is the true recipe for this particular beverage, and I'm going to put a seal on the bottle that has my name on it so you know you're buying the right version of this beverage. And so it's not even just quality, although quality is bound up in that, but there's a kind of essence of a particular beverage, and they make claims towards authenticity, and I think that the quality is assumed based on these types of almost intellectual property claims in a way.
So certainly the same with perfumery, although they, something like Queen of Hungary Water, if it's not made in Montpellier, it's not as good. So it needs to come from there, and it's stamped and certified. But there's also a very large discourse about the individual raw ingredients. So ambergris can be adulterated, musk can be adulterated, civet can be adulterated, and you can actually find treaties on how to adulterate them yourself.
How to recognize it, mm-hmm. how to adulterate
and
it
And
yourself.
How to test. Right, yeah. So with ambergris, you need to stick a needle, a hot, hot needle into the ambergris, and then if the right kind of, right shade of smoke comes out, it's real. But if the wrong kind comes out, and if you distill it, it needs to smell like urine. And if it doesn't, then it's not ambergris. So they've got all of these techniques in place that, they, and certainly I think part of the way the perfumer defines their role is that they are the ones who have the knowledge about the quality of these materials.
Yeah. Right, that authenticity and also origin, right? So any, the jewels, emeralds, coffee, it has to come from the Orient, and it speaks to intensity, right, how efficacious it is. So pearls that might come from Scotland or Eastern Europe just don't have the medical intensity that's needed for the medicines. And I wonder if coffee or other products are also need to fight that battle, right? So,
yeah, so coffee
when
from,
it's no longer from mocha and it's from
Saint Domingue. Well, but there's still praise being applied to coffee from mocha as superior, mm-hmm. superior in flavor, superior in odor, superior in effect. To the inferior. I mean, Voltaire has Candide say, or somebody in Candide say, you don't want that stuff from Batavia. You don't want the stuff from, Saint-Domingue. You want the real mocha. Otherwise, it doesn't work as well.
Interestingly, civet from Amsterdam is better because the cats are live in Amsterdam and they're kept in cages. They're heated with fires and then the civet is extracted. So this is much fresher than civet that's coming from Asia. So there it becomes, you need the actual the local.
Right, that's it, that local versus foreign too mm-hmm. argument that comes in.
We've unfortunately reached the end of our allotted time, but I want to thank you all for your good questions, and please join me in thanking our panelists for such wonderful contributions.
Agents, so they're necessary in terms of your personal hygiene. But then I think they kind of go beyond this luxury item to become a populax, where you even get in the Revolution perfume à la guillotine. You can walk down the road and pick that up. So
what do you think it smells like? Yeah,
I haven't found
blood.
A recipe.
Ground up body parts.
Smells like the blood of a lizard.
One other thing to throw in there is the importance of the concept of import substitution here, which might be very helpful with pearls. That, in other words, you say, well, gold leaf is really expensive. Pearls, you know, it's ridiculously expensive. So what we're looking for is something which is cheaper, which will, you know, so it's a mercantilist, so you're not putting money out. You do it within. And that's very important. Obviously, you see that with coffee.
Right.
You know,
the
what,
porcelain,
exactly
right,
what you've been saying. You could see it with tobacco. You could see it with lots of other drugs as well. And what is interesting in perfume is it goes the other way. And that, in other words, it's because you're looking for a more and more sort of rarefied audience, you're sort of making it even more exotic, mm-hmm. even more expensive, and all the rest of it. So you've got, again, this very differentiated market. And I think, actually, what there is a difference. I haven't really worked it out, but, you know, some of the stuff about, you know, something, you know, is really fabulous because it comes from, you know, Cleopatra's navel or wherever. you know, because of the qualities that they're,
yeah.
A lot of people are using exotic language. It's really just marketing. It's sort of hitting a sort of Arabian Nights type of stuff rather than really going to some sort of medically approved or medically endorsed argument about medical quality and health effects, I think. But that's just a thought.
Well, coffee was, I've been talking about the material culture surrounding, but coffee itself, people worried about, the experts worried about, the medical experts worried about its adulteration from the very beginning, about how you had to beware of what was coming with your beans. So that's why you only want to buy whole beans and grind them yourself at home and then roast them yourself first, because they could be adulterated with peas and with flour and with dirt. and then if we fast forward ahead to the Napoleonic period, with the British blockade and everything, they could no longer import their own coffee, and that's where chicory starts to be used as a coffee substitute. And that's not coffee either.
I think there's a really interesting story with perfumery, because you start off with these very expensive ingredients, ambergris, civet, and musk, that are hard to access, and, you know, they even have civet farms in Amsterdam, and they tried to have one in England, which is gone by about 1720. But then you end up with actually homegrown products, orange flower and rose and lavender. So in terms of the production costs drop, but then the prices actually rocket as they then do create these new techniques to distinguish between different types of perfumes, where I imagine there's actually not that much difference. And I think the Paris perfumers actually did a lot less in terms of production than they would want everybody to think. I think they kind of, you know, maybe had very small laboratories and mixed a few things that had already been processed in Grasse or in Montpellier, and then, you know, kind of advertised them as actually their products.
I can pick up on that. In between the luxury versus necessity debate, we also have the issue of quality and purity. And you can see this in some cases even in the 16th century, where the marketing and the sort of debates about the different products that are flowing into not just France but Europe, you know, from the 16th century on, deal with this. And it does evolve over time often, but certainly that notion of marketing to quality, that just because you have ordinary people, non-noble people, for example, consuming a product doesn't mean that there isn't still cachet at different levels. You can have really, you know, gradations in the markets too. So I don't know how much you see in each of your different examples these sorts of dynamics going on, and when there's a period where there is more of this sort of branding around quality versus just a sort of luxury versus necessity debate going on. But that's what I would pose as a question.
Always been at the forefront of, I think, the butchers themselves, and certainly maintaining the slaughter in the city is all about quality. It's to ensure that you're getting a fresh animal, right? Not that one has died of other causes, but one that has been properly slaughtered and butchered. And so to imagine that outside of a hospital is kind of a harsh thing, that they would bring the cattle to the Hotel Dieu, and they would have to do that right outside of the hospital walls, and that was part of quality, and that it would also have to be people who were trained and you know, recognized as a professional butcher. It wouldn't be someone who was just hired for a short season, but these were experts, and so that level of of quality really, you know, is something that's carried through even in this particular market, which could easily not be. I mean, it could easily, you could certainly imagine that there would be other ways to do this, but I think that the quality really drove that that concern.
And just to speak to another shade of this, too, is at least in Limonaderie, authenticity is a big issue. So they talk about this is the true recipe for this particular beverage, and I'm going to put a seal on the bottle that has my name on it so you know you're buying the right version of this beverage. And so it's not even just quality, although quality is bound up in that, but there's a kind of essence of a particular beverage, and they make claims towards authenticity, and I think that the quality is assumed based on these types of almost intellectual property claims in a way.
So certainly the same with perfumery, although they, something like Queen of Hungary Water, if it's not made in Montpellier, it's not as good. So it needs to come from there, and it's stamped and certified. But there's also a very large discourse about the individual raw ingredients. So ambergris can be adulterated, musk can be adulterated, civet can be adulterated, and you can actually find treaties on how to adulterate them yourself.
Right, how to how to recognize it, mm-hmm. how to adulterate it,
and how to test. Right, yeah. So with ambergris, you need to stick a needle, a hot needle into the ambergris, and then if the right kind of right shade of smoke comes out, it's real. But if the wrong kind comes out, and if you distill it, it needs to smell like urine. And if it doesn't, then it's not ambergris. So they've got all of these techniques in place and certainly I think part of the way the perfumer defines their role is that they are the ones who have the knowledge about the quality of these materials.
Yeah. Right, that authenticity and also origin, right? So any, the jewels, emeralds, coffee, it has to come from the Orient, and it speaks to intensity, right, how efficacious it is. So pearls that might come from Scotland or Eastern Europe just don't have the medical intensity that's needed for the medicines. I wonder if coffee or other products are also need to fight that battle, right? So,
yeah, so coffee,
but it's no longer from Mocha, and it's from
Saint-Domingue. Well, but there's still praise being applied to coffee from Mocha as superior, superior in flavor, superior in odor, superior in effect. To the inferior. I mean, Voltaire has Candide say, or somebody in Candide say, you don't want that stuff from Batavia. You don't want the stuff from, Saint-Domingue. You want the real Mocha. Otherwise, it doesn't work as well.
Interestingly, civet from Amsterdam is better because the cats are live in Amsterdam and they're kept in cages. They're heated with fires and then the civet is extracted. So this is much fresher than civet that's coming from Asia. So there it becomes, you need the actual, the local.
Right, that's it, that local versus foreign too mm-hmm. argument that comes in.
We've unfortunately reached the end of our allotted time, but I want to thank you all for your good questions, and please join me in thanking our panelists for such wonderful contributions.